Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
I'm right side.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. It goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, it is Thursday. It's Thursday at 3:30. You know what that means. We got this thing we do. We call Butters and Lees. So let me call the roll, first of all, and see if we got them on the line. So our friend Lee from Huntsville, is you or is you not with us?
I am here.
You are. Hey, Lee, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Well, let me check on the butter man. Butters, our Butters buddy, how are you?
I'm good, Phil. How are you today?
I'm good, man. You sound good on that connection. You sound smooth. Well, all right. I think it's time for me to declare a session of Butters and Lee. All right, the whoops have sounded. We're in. So here's my first question for you. And maybe there's something that. We got a sound effect playing. Maybe there's something that that Butters recognizes from his time in the military, but we used to have in the Army especially something we called a commander's wake-up criteria. Like, you know, downrange, something happens in the middle of the night, small fry stuff, you know, the battle captain takes care of it, but there were certain things that you went and woke up the boss for. You didn't wait till the morning. He did not need to wake up in the morning and find out that happened at 3 a.m. So, if the phone rings at 3 a.m. in the White House right now, what's the threshold for waking up Joe Biden? What do you say, Lee?
I mean, my non-serious answer is nothing. but my serious answer is I would hope any president, you would have to wake up for any type of attack on another country, especially an ally, and or terrorist attack in the United States, anything really major. But here's the thing, when you have a president who has, and I don't think anybody's debating this anymore, he has obvious dementia symptoms. They don't do well at night.
Yeah.
And I think that we saw this the other night at the press conference, and I will tell you, I think they did that to him on purpose. They know he's not good at night. That's why they put a lid on so early every single night and have no press conferences. And so they put him out there because they knew that. They also put out that report. They knew what was in it. They could see that it basically called him a senile old man, for lack of better words. And so they know that nighttime is not a good time for him. Then they let him do a press conference at night, and he became agitated and angry, which is common with dementia, called sundowners. They get picked after, you know, sun goes down. So I think that...
Go ahead.
Not much.
There's not much to wake him up for because you're... I asked this question. It was a loaded question, and I knew it was. But let me go to Butters before I say much more, though. All right, Butters, commander's wake-up criteria, White House, 3 a.m., what is it?
Do we have a fresh batch of pudding? Yeah, I think doesn't seem like they care too much. My guess, kind of to Lee's point, I don't think they wake him up for anything, because that probably more just, we got less to deal with if he's asleep. So it's probably more of the staff and what are the key points. I mean, they lost the SecDef for 5 days. I don't know. And I mean, I mean that with all genuine, and yes, I have a ton of experience with dealing with this at 3-star and 4-star admiral and general levels. I know what they get woken up for.
Yeah.
And I don't see that seem that they seem to care.
Yeah. And that's, like I said, loaded question. And I knew it when I thought through what I wanted to ask y'all today. I thought, man, this will be a loaded question. It'll be both humorous and yet not humorous at the same time. And I feel the exact same way. My sense is he's not the go-to guy at 3 a.m., despite the fact that he's commander-in-chief. I think that the so-called battle captains, if you will, they are literally running the shop. And, you know, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan or somebody like that is coming in and handling things, and they'll just tell the president how it went, unless it gets so bad they have to trot him out in front of the press. That's the way I feel things are probably going right now. Just saying.
Yeah, I would feel that there's a lot of the same, particularly in the staff side of things, the folks that I dealt with when we went into Syria, and being involved with that, myself, there was a lot of confusion at our level, and I would imagine that's exactly what is going on. So,
all right, phone's ringing at 3 a.m. in the White House, and we assume the operator is going to take the call, but who knows? All right, next question. Let me. I'm going to switch gears on you. I'm still on a national scene. I mean, right now we're looking at this illegal mass migration, and I'm beyond just calling them, you know, border crossers or, you know, immigrants. They're not. It's illegal mass migration, in my opinion. But it's causing disruption in communities across the entire nation, and like not a small amount. I know you guys know because you keep up, but this is like epic level stuff. I mean, systems are being strained, and communities are facing unrest, and crime is rising in certain areas. And so here's the deal. Trump has talked about if he gets reelected, it's going to be the biggest mass deportation in world history. Do you think that looking at the way things are, knowing who we are as a people, do you think that the American public actually wants the mass deportations or just find a way to assimilate them? What do you think? You first this time, Butters.
I think, say, 2 years ago, if you'd asked the question, I think most people would be, you know, hey, let's just stop hemorrhaging and let's apply some common sense to stopping the border, and then we'll figure out what to do with the folks that are here. I think with, you know, as we've talked a lot about, that the numbers are staggering. So, yeah, I don't think it would be a tough sell to a lot of people in America at this point of, number one, let's stop it, and then let's get, you know, we got to round some of these folks up. You know, I think that's a much, much more palpable thing. Of course, obviously there's going to be a ton of folks on the left that would seem to fight. I don't know how hard they'll fight, but, I think right now, I certainly would definitely be in favor of some coherent. I mean, we got a 1.5 million folks, coming in a year, 300,000+ a month. Yeah. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it really is. All right,
3 million a year.
Yeah, it's 3 million a year, I think, and then I think it's also been over 6 million since Biden took office. But
all right, I was off 1 million people.
What's 1 million among friends? You know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, I got 1 million, you got 1 million. You know what I'm saying? I know a guy. Anyway, Lee, so your thoughts? Do you think that the American public is like, yes, we're ready for mass deportation? Send them back to where they came from, or are you thinking that there's a stop the bleeding and we can assimilate those that are here? What do you think?
I think most people would want mass deportation at this point. Even Democrats, I think a lot of them are seeing how it affects their cities and their services that are being offered. And I think that they are now saying we need to be able to take care of the people we have here. We can't, having homeless in the streets and migrants in hotels just seems so wacky. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And so I think yes, but I don't know if you saw it, but they did a nice little I don't know who filmed it, what station it was, but they filmed this woman. She had accepted some migrants into her home.
Oh yeah,
and she was talking about how wonderful it was. It was just delightful, and the lady was cooking, and I'm like, wow, the Dems found a way to bring back slavery. Look, you can stay at my home, but you need to clean and cook. How are you with the, you know, shoveling snow? How about raking leaves? I mean, for God's sake.
Oh, she wasn't cooking for them. She had them cooking for her.
They were cooking for her. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
And I was like, ooh, that's not a good look.
They got themselves a whole new indentured servitude going on.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, wow, the Democrats figured out how to bring it back. Look at them. They're so enterprising.
Wow. Just touch them on the head. They're sweet.
Do you get free money for housing immigrants?
You know, probably. In some places, I bet you do. You know what? I bet you do.
Could you share a link on how much I can get paid to do that? I'm looking for a little side income.
probably a lot like foster kids, you know? They're like foster people. You just take them in. They'll cook and clean for you and get them out in the yard and be like, get out there and rake, you know, some leaves and cook me meals, and then I can get some money.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
that
all
is awful.
Disgusting.
They just pay 10 times what actually being a foster parent pays. That seems to be the sanity of the world we're living in.
I saw the story about the woman taking them. She said, my husband and I would be willing to take some people in, and they had a family of four show up on their doorstep within an hour. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I did not see the follow-up.
There was another lady that had a couple in there, but I'm like, hey, chick, why don't you take in a few of these single men, see how it works out for you? I mean, what can happen, right?
Ooh, yeah. The guys with the face tattoos, they're not mean.
Right. Yeah. Three or four of them. I mean, it's safe.
Well, to my question, too, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I really do believe there's going to be a fair mix of this. I think there's a real desire to see a bunch of these folks shipped back. Here's the thing. And maybe we can deal with this here for a minute, too, if you don't mind, before we go to the break, is how do you do this? Because what you know is going to wind up happening is they're going to be showing pictures of the mass incarcerations of Japanese-American citizens during World War II right next to the picture of, you know, the Trump administration herding people into cages and shipping them, you know, to all four corners of the world. I mean, how do we do this? Do you take volunteers first? What do you do with this? Okay, I'm going to call names then. Lee, you first.
It doesn't matter how he does it. It doesn't matter. They're still going to say these things. So if I were him, I would just make it happen. And I would start pulling them from the areas that are most disrupted and even the blue areas, so they can see, hey, someone's actually listening to you and it's not the Democrats. And just start sending them back. Period. And I know it would take a long time, but I would just start. I mean, we're going to need to see more ICE raids. They need to be shipped down to Mexico. Since Mexico's letting them all in, they can take them all back. The key is getting Mexico to stop letting them in. That's the key to their country, to not to get to our country. And so what we're going to say is, hey, you let them all in here. They're all coming back.
Butters,
or if it's like far country, we're going to fly them out.
Butters, 30 to 45 seconds here. What do you think? How do we stage this? How do we make this work?
Well, you take a good chunk of all those extra IRS agents that they've hired, and you turn them loose. I like what Lee's saying. You know, yeah, figuring out what communities are in dire need, and probably focusing on it geographically, and moving it out. And then, you know, obviously we got, it's not all Hispanic, I mean, there's Chinese, all sorts of, I mean, so part of it would be very, very important. Find the fighting age male, if you will, for lack of better words, you know, the ones that this might be more than just somebody looking for an opportunity in the country.
More to come on this one, but I think we're going to see some. And what?
A draconian tax on any type of money transfers, and
yes,
make them self-deport, like 50% tax on money transfers, self-report them, deport them back. They'll go back if they can't make money.
I said that yesterday on the show, that's been my idea for several years, is you put some kind of a tax or a tariff on the amount of money being transferred by Western Union and others back to these the countries they came from, and I guarantee you, either A, they'll start mailing cash through the mail, or B, they'll go home. All right, guys, we got to take a break right now. We're with Butters and Lee. It's our Thursday segment. Two folks who are just like great at having opinions themselves, and I love hearing it. We come right back. This is where they ask me questions. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, you know, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, we're going right back to our segment we love called Butters and Lee. And this is where we flip the script. And instead of me asking them questions, they ask me questions. And I'm going to go with Lee first. Lee, you got a question for me?
Yeah, I was wondering if you saw where Limestone County busted sex offenders using the, now I can't remember the name of his group, Jared, the Navy SEAL?
Yeah, Covenant Rescue Group.
Yes, Covenant Rescue Group, how they busted people in Limestone County.
Yeah.
And just wanted to point out, Pete, that this is also another unintended consequence of illegal immigration as well, an increase in this type of behavior. And, you know, I'm just glad to see they're doing these things. Wondering if you saw it.
I did see the headline. I got a chance to look at the story just for a minute. I've had Jared Hudson on my show multiple times. The dude's solid, former Navy SEAL, ran for sheriff as a Republican in Jefferson County, the biggest county in the state. And really did a pretty bang up job. Almost took the race. And he's his Covenant Rescue Group has been doing amazing work, consulting with and assisting local law enforcement with these human trafficking rescue operations and stings. And I mean, just very cool.
Yeah.
They could make a movie about what he's doing, and they should. But anyway, so yeah, did I see it? Yes, I did. And yes, I think that we need to have more of it. I love what he's doing. I love that he's right here in Alabama. I love that he's a Right Side ruffian. He has one of our shirts. I mean, I'm loving more than anything though, that they are literally rescuing kids and stopping predators.
Yeah.
It's very cool. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Moms for Liberty, y'all are doing something with Jared sometime soon, aren't you?
April 5th. On Friday, April 5th, we're going to have a dinner celebrating their group and just talking. It's going to be all about their group. It's not anything about us. And it's going to be he's going to come up and, you know, just talk about what his organization is doing and how people can get involved. It's going to be great.
Outstanding. Well, yeah, glad for it.
Ask a question real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
That?
Yeah.
What is the state doing to help with any of that, or what are officials doing to help with that?
Well, so my understanding is the AG's office has been very cooperative, and there is human trafficking legislation designed right now to enhance the capabilities of the state and local to assist with this. And then there's also the Alabama Human Trafficking Task Force, which is a coalition of organizations that I actually used to go to their meetings when I was with API. The Human Trafficking Task Force is there to basically provide additional information, support, and effort to lobby for more as needed. So yeah, there are things happening, but I think at the same time, Jared Hudson and his group, they bring a certain level of gravitas and expertise on it, and I'm glad they're doing what they're doing. All right, Butters, what question do you have for moi?
So I guess Alabama is being compared to Nazi Germany and apartheid South Africa. Yeah, so Senator Singleton, I saw this article in 1819 dealing with the library, particularly the Archives and History's Board of Trustees legislation they're talking about and debating.
Yeah.
This rhetoric, how does this help the conversation? And does he genuinely, I mean, when he says stuff like that, do you think he genuinely believes that comparison?
No, but I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you how many times, and we got about a minute left, but I can't tell you how many times I was basically sort of held captive by Bobby Singleton or Roger Smitherman, two senators, members of the Black Caucus in the state Senate, who would go to the podium and say the most, you know, race baiting type things and accusing the anybody else in the legislature didn't agree of some level of racism, or, you know, talking about how, you know, we're trying to keep people down, and it's a tactic, an unfortunate tactic, and it also is a clear indication when you don't have the facts on your side, just argue racism. That's what they got. Saw it time and time again.
attention getting. That's what it is. They're trying to get attention outside the state for their causes because people here aren't buying that nonsense.
Yeah, it creates a great great clickbait title, sort of like the one that Lord Butter's in. All right, you guys, love you both. Butters and Lee, we'll have you back on again next week. You guys have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
All right, Thanks, folks, we are taking a break. We're coming right back, and it's time for a little discussion about cacistocracy. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.